We're starting at verse 1 in chapter 4. If you're a son, you're an heir. If you are a son, you're an heir. How do you become a son? Because God's son was a child. God's son was sent to the earth to be born under the law, under Mary. She was born of woman, just like all of us. And because of that, Jesus is a new head of a new race, of which we are now co-heirs, because we are also sons of God. Forget male, female. We are sons of God, just as we are also the bride of Christ. Forget male, female. If you are a son, then you're an heir of Abraham and an heir of the promise of God to Abraham, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. We call that passive righteousness. You don't have any, haven't had any, and never will have any of your own. No one can be righteous before God. Everyone is guilty. Everyone is guilty. That means everyone has sinned. Not only did you sin, you have a sinful heart nature by your own choice. It wasn't the way he made you, it was the way you made yourself, not existentially, but essentially. Existentially, the fact that you exist, that came from God, perfect. You were born perfectly. Though you were conceived in sin, your existence is given to you by God. It comes from the mouth of God. There's nothing wrong with your existence. It's just that he wrote upon you when he created you with his own finger, not at birth, at conception, and wrote his law upon your heart. You owe God worship, and you owe your neighbor love. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You owe that. Everybody that's born in this world, atheists, Satanists, it doesn't matter. You owe God a debt. What? What debt? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Finished. That's it. That's all you have to do, is that one little thing. No one ever did that. No one ever obeyed. No one. No one. Not one. That's why God sent his son. Because guilty, and everybody is guilty existentially. That is, it's written on your heart, and you had the capacity to worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor, to love your neighbor just as you love yourself, and everybody loves themselves, and everybody wants for themselves, and everybody's selfish, so you should then love the neighbor in the same way that you wanted everything for you, then love the neighbor the same way, that they may equally be loved as you loved yourself. So self-love is the foundation of your love for others. But nobody ever did it. Ever. Ever. At any time. So your love is always conditional. It's conditioned upon something. Well, I didn't feel like it. Yeah, I see. That's a condition. Feeling. Well, I didn't understand what it meant. Oh, I see. That's a condition. Well, he didn't deserve it. Oh, that's a condition. No, no, no. It's written on your heart that you were made to worship God and love your neighbor, everybody. Everybody. So everybody's guilty, because not one. No, not one. So could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's good. So you are a sinner living among sinners by, not by nature, in the sense that nature gave you that. No, no. He wrote his initials on you. He wrote his signature on you. This one's mine. This is one of my worshipers. one of my love neighbor creatures. No cattle are like that. Frogs are not like that. Nobody else has that calling. What dignity, what value, what worth every human being has, regardless of whether you're fat or skinny, or whether you're young or old or male or female or dumb or smart. It's irrelevant. God fixed that so that only people would have that image and that capacity to be like God as his steward, accountable to him. Everyone is guilty. Everyone is guilty. Why? Why did God do that? Why didn't he make us like the angels? He did. One third of them fell away. Only two thirds are left to serve God. Of course, there are probably billions of them. So it doesn't matter. Everybody's got one of those angels. Jackie, did you know you have an angel? Yeah. Guards watches over you. It's a big problem. Is that they're all unsuccessful in their convincing you to worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and neighbor as the self. So that's the presence of the Lord through those angels, the good ones. And the bad ones seem to be doing better. They're doing awfully well. So it seems like that one third bad, that must be a big group. It seems that lots of people follow essentially, not existentially. Existentially means your existence is given by God. But your essence is chosen. Who are you? What's your purpose? What's your destiny? Why are you here? And nobody ever figured out why they're here. Nobody. All their questions, like, why am I here? Who am I? What am I for? Why do I live? Why do I breathe? What's the purpose of my existing? Oh, it's to choose. Oh, I have that freedom? Yeah. Well, am I not under laws? I don't know. That's yours to figure out. I think I'm under laws. Yeah, you are. Actually, everything is a law. Everything is a law, apart from Jesus. With Jesus, he actually keeps the law for everybody. He actually kept everybody's law. He actually worshiped the Lord God with all his heart and soul and strength and his neighbor as himself. And therefore, he did that for you, Jackie, and you, Betsy, and David for you, and Luke for you, and all of us. He did it. He didn't have to do it. He wasn't under any law to do it. He wanted to do it. He chose to do it. That was you doing it. Even though he did it for you so that you wouldn't be under the guilt of the law. So you're not. But it's not existential. It's to be chosen. You have to choose it. You have to take delivery on that promise. It's something that he had to reveal to people. It isn't in your existence. It isn't cosmic. It isn't written into your nature. In your nature is a duty. And therefore a right. Because I always have a right to do what I have a duty to do. And therefore I have a liberty to do what I have a right to do my duty. So I have a duty and a right and a liberty to do that right. And I have the capacity. Otherwise it would be meaningless. Frogs can't do this. I don't know if you've ever discussed this with a frog, but they cannot. And flowers can't do this. We're unique in all creation. We are the stewards of the living God, accountable to him for our worship and our love to our neighbor. Therefore, there'll be peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet, for 6,000 years more, here we are. There's still no peace on earth. Still, no goodwill toward men. So that's why he sent his law through Moses so people would know what was written on their hearts, existentially. Now it's your turn to essentially say, you know what, I'm going to choose my existence. No, you don't choose your existence. That's given. Okay, then I'm going to choose who I am and what I'm all about and what my destiny is and what's my purpose on earth. I'll choose that. Okay, just don't choose wrong. And everybody did. All have sinned and fallen short. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? Everybody. So if you get married, I don't know if some of you are married or not, but if you get married, you'll probably marry a sinner who fell short. You married somebody who fell short. And some of you who got married, you're also falling short, but you may not know it. You may actually believe that in your case, you did rather well. And that the other person is guilty, but you're not. Thou art innocent. Thou art innocent. But you're wrong. Because you have to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and that puts the fear of God in everybody. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Who has it? None. Even though men say they fear God and acknowledge Him, yet they don't want to obey Him. They want to be selfish. They want to take care of themselves. They don't want to love the neighbor, and they certainly don't want to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. Where would be them? Where am I if I'm spending my whole life for God? Let Him take care of Himself. Let's take care of me. How many know that everybody's like that? So that's why we can't get along. That's why we can't dwell together. That's why we can't live in the same town or the same village or the same nation, because other people are no good. And thank God we know that. That's one thing we know for sure. There are wicked people in this world, quite a number. What you don't know is it's everybody. And what you don't know is you're part of the everybody. That's what you don't know. So when you put two sinners together, it's like antimatter and matter colliding. There's going to be an atomic explosion. That's the problem. Have you noticed there's a little bit of violence in the world today? It hasn't gone away after we're in the 7,000th year now of existence. Forget all those evolutionist guys. Silly. Sorry. That's how old the earth is. It's just a few thousand years old, period. It's almost the end of the week. We're in the last day right now, actually. We're already in the millennial time chronology, although we're not in the millennium yet because the wicked are still ruling. Has anybody noticed that too? And a lot of people want to sit out the elections and all that kind of stuff because they think, well, they're just picking the lesser of two evils. What's new? What is new? When have we ever had two perfect people, or even one? Did you know that there ain't anybody qualified? Nobody is worthy, even though they have natural dignity and natural worth and natural value in the sight of God, because He made us. And He doesn't forget that He made us to be able to worship Him and love the neighbor. He's never forgotten that. So the message of Galatians, which we've been looking at all year, is that even though everybody's born in sin, chair number one, and a lot of people are hypocrites, chair number two, we don't have any here, thank God. Nobody here is a hypocrite. You might be a hippopotamus, but you're not a hypocrite. You're not a hypocritical person. But hypocrite turns out to be a false category. That's just simply a way of looking at someone who's a chair number one who pretends like they're a chair number two, because it's all pretend. Because everybody's sinner. Everybody is born that way. Okay? But you chose it. Why did I choose that? When you ran around naked, the mother said, put your clothes on. And you didn't want to. Have you ever noticed that little kids like that? They'll take their clothes off. Hey, put your clothes on. We're going to church. Put that on. And they just run around and they don't want to put them on. They want to do their own thing. You ever notice that about kids? They're rebellious. They don't even want laws. They don't care what your laws are. They just laugh right at you. I love little kids because they're just totally honest about the whole deal. No. They're just defiant. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? And even if you spank them, they still don't obey. You can spank them. You can threaten them all day long. It's just a concept to them. Did you hear what I said? Put my clothes on?
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
I don't know.
They always answer that way. I don't know. I mean, why should I be spanked? What did I do? Didn't I say that?
Yeah.
It's a concept, Mom. See, that's the way the little kid... The little kid heard the concept. They just don't want the reality there, and they certainly don't want a spanking, so they just say, I don't want to answer that. Everybody wants to know, why are you here? Well, you're here to obey. You're here to do your duty. What is it? Worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. God has been very clear. He wrote that on your heart. I'm sorry. It's written on your heart. You don't have to have Moses write it on stone. It was written on your heart. There's nothing new. The Ten Commandments are not new. Exactly what's natural with everybody. It's just that everybody chose not to follow it and make up Buddha, make up Hinduism, make up all these religions, which are nothing but behave yourself laws, but they're behavable. Did you notice that about the laws of different religions? They're all doable. They don't make up laws like our law. The Hebrew law is not doable. Be perfect as I am perfect. You notice that? It's kind of like a trick of God to show you the reason I gave the law is not for you to do it, because nobody ever does. But it's just to know that you didn't and therefore confess, I didn't. That's all. That's all. I just want you to humble yourself and say, you know what? I never did what I was told. I never did what I was supposed to do. I didn't do the natural laws. I didn't do the religious laws. I didn't do the cultural laws. I didn't do whatever I want. Didn't want because I didn't want to. And I didn't want to. And no little kid will ever say that. I didn't want to. Why'd you do that? I didn't want to. Why did you do that? I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. That's all. How many know everybody's like that? Everybody's equally like that. Everybody is stubborn. I know Peggy is. I know she is. And it's, I guess it's because she's German. I guess she's German, but I'm German too. And you got two stubborn people, but I'm taller. And so it seems like an unfair fight. But believe me, those little short ones, they are tough. They are tough. They have mouths. They can keep going. And even when I'm right, she won't admit it. Even though I know I was right. I know I was right. And I was just doing it for her good, right? Just doing this to help you. Just doing this to have peace and so on and so forth. If we just do everything I say, everything will be fine. How many know that everybody wants to be God? Everybody wants to be God, even though they're not God. They want to be God, and then imagine everything going their way. So God has set up the world knowing, because he knows everything. He knows before he even creates the world that everything is going to write on everybody's heart. No one will do. No one. 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 Not one. No, not one. Isn't that amazing? God must have a sense of humor that he gives a law that no one's going to keep. With all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. I mean, they'll keep it conditionally, like pretend, chair two. So chair three is you need to repent. You need to confess. You need to say, I'm sorry. You need to say, I'm sorry. I don't want to. Not only do you sin, you don't want to say you sinned. You want to say I'm innocent. You want to say, okay, when other people sin, I know it's wrong. But when I sin, I have a story. I can tell you. I can explain. Let me explain. Let me explain why I did what I did. I have an explanation. Or if you're really wicked, you just say, I don't give a rip. You know, I don't care. I don't care. But that's really wicked. At least people should have some kind of excuse or reason for why they do what they do. Well, here's why I did it. And when people talk, you know they're sinning. As if they open their mouth, you know, shut up. You did it because you wanted to, period. So want to is different than think. Want to makes you guilty because what you want to do is what we don't want to admit. Because what you want to do is hit that person. You to be violent against people that are breathing around you, that are trying to live near you, right? Because they have little rules they have for you. They have little laws, expectations that they put on you, and it cramps you. It kind of circumscribes you. It limits you. It bars you. It stops you. That's why everybody sins. Because you don't have a right to say that or do that. And so the world just is not getting along. And Buddhism hasn't helped. Hinduism isn't helping. Muslim certainly not helping. Of course, theirs is efficient. Just chop your head off. Okay, that's it. Chop your hand off. You know, you're going to steal like that? There you go. Now, that limits you. Now I got another hand. Chop that one off too. Pretty soon you chop your legs off. And pretty soon you're just, you know, just there. But you can still with your mouth. Did you know people are really creative? If they want to do something, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So when you convince someone against their will to do something, because you manipulate them, threaten them, bribe them, do whatever, they still are for themselves. I mean, in the end, morals didn't work. In the end, that moral ladder won't climb to heaven. God hates human morality. He hates it. Man at his best state? It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. In the sight of God, of course. Who's God? Who's God to tell me what? Who's God to limit me? Who's God to take command over me? I don't have to worship him if I don't want to. Well, no one ever has. Did you know that no one has ever worshiped God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength or their neighbor as themselves? That's why he sent Jesus. He said, Jesus, I want you to go down there because Danny is not doing what I asked him to do. And maybe I want to take away any excuse he might have. I'll let you do it and then you'll be an example. And then Danny will thank you for showing him what you meant. And then he can sin, but he'd have to sin then willingly. Because once he sees, there's no excuse. How many know that after Jesus, there's no excuse for sin? After Jesus, now you don't have an excuse because he would give you, if you accepted his mercy, then you could also get the Holy Spirit. And if you had the power, then no one could stop you because in Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's God. He's going to win out. I don't care what. You can disobey his law. He'll forgive you for that. But then he'll give you the Spirit if you ask for it. But then, of course, you have no excuses now. How many know that God's going to have his way? God is stubborn that way. I think he's German. I think he must be German because he's very stubborn. Do you know Swedes are stubborn also? I don't know if you know that. I think it's a Scandinavian-German kind of connection. Must be Celtic. So man has sinned from this foundation of the world ever to today, still hasn't stopped. There's no peace on earth, goodwill to men. Remember when Jesus was born, the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's kind of like a little reminder. That's the goal. It's like, ain't going to happen. All we've had is war on earth. That's all we've had. Violence, trouble, difficulty, people not getting along, marriage is not working, families falling apart, communities, nations. You know, wherever you turn, there's always a snake in everybody's garden. Have you noticed that? Just when things are going well, something bad will show up to bite you. Just when you think, you know, life's going pretty good. Watch out, because there's a snake somewhere, and it's probably in you. It's probably in you. Whoa, get back in there. Down in there. We don't do that. We're in church. Don't let that come out. You know, you could have a worshipful moment in church. You could have a worshipful moment. God, I just sense your presence right now. It's so awesome, so wonderful. And you'll see somebody, what's she doing here? That hat doesn't even look good on her. You know, and you'll find that in your most glorious moments, sin cometh. And it's very tempting. Just in the moment of your almost glory, almost honorable, almost, you know what? I'm an awesome person. Hey, I'm not golfing. I'm here. It's a big sacrifice. Could have been in bed. Could have been, you know, doing something else to fill up my time so I don't have to deal with God. How many know that staying busy helps you to avoid God. Complaining about the IRS, you know, a lot of things help you to gripe about something without attacking God. But God kind of senses that you're ticked at him because you didn't do what he said. You didn't obey. No one here has ever obeyed God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, or, and the proof of the pudding is, love your neighbor. Black and white and yellow and whatever colors we all are and so on and so forth, you know? We just see a difference as not as good as me. We'll turn anything into an occasion for violence or judgment or criticism of another to build ourselves up. So if I criticize someone else, I'm higher. Because only a higher person should judge a lower person, right? But did you know that the guy that's lying in the gutter out there, drunk as a skunk, he's actually looking up at you, looking down at him as a hypocrite? He goes, he's such a hypocrite. But he doesn't say anything because he's looking for the nickel. People are not going to get along ever. Poor God. He made a world that doesn't work. But he did provide a way out through Jesus Christ. That's called passive righteousness. He lived, Jackie, your perfect life for you before the world even began and said, this will be for Jackie. And he knew right when you would live and so on. Yeah, I don't know how he thinks like this, but he's got the hairs of your head numbered and stuff. I can barely count the ones that are going down the drain of the shower. But I know one thing, I'm getting thinner and thinner. That I know. I feel lightheaded. I feel, you know, I'm losing it. And Peggy too, the both of us. But we just brush those aside, kick those away. Don't want to clog up the drain. But he knows how many hairs you have lost every day. Isn't that amazing? Has anyone here noticed that the older you get, somehow they fall out? I don't know where they go, what they, why. What, you have to feed them or something? Do good. I know they have a lot of promises on radio, but I haven't purchased any of those products yet. But the thinner I get, I don't want to start looking like certain people in this church. No, you know what? God has rigged it so you can be happy. You know the only reason he ever gave you a law? So you'd be happy. Did you know that the law is the best thing he ever gave you? Why? Because the law tells you you're not God. That's what it tells you. The law shows you you're not God. He gives you a law that he knows you'll break. He gives you a law that you know he knows. He gave it in such a way that he knows you can't do it. He deliberately did that, consciously knew that. He knew that he was God and only God is good, so how could he ever expect me to be good when only God is good? And no one else is good but God. He even said that. Amen. So how can he expect me to be good? And why do little kids have to behave? You know why? For their happiness. Amen. Why? Because I found this out. I found this out myself because I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. And it didn't lead to happiness. But I didn't learn that from God. I just learned that by experience. Is doing what you want is not going to make other people happy. And it certainly doesn't make you happy. So people just don't like you. Has anybody discovered that? I mean, how many people recognize how great we are? How great I am. Nobody. Nobody likes you. Nobody is happy you're here. Unless you serve them, and that's just a game, of course, we play. You serve me, I'll serve you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Quid pro quo. This for that. So people don't love each other. They just conditionally put up with each other, tolerate other people. But the truth is, I just want everyone to do what I want them to do. I not only know how to do what I want, but I know how to make other people, trick them, manipulate them, or avoid them, whatever I have to do to get along. But I certainly don't love them as myself. So now that I'm guilty, everybody's guilty. Everybody's guilty. You cannot erase it. It is ineradicable. It's indestructible. That guilt remaineth forever on the earth-dwelling people. So Jesus came along, lived a perfect life for all of us, for everybody. He loves everybody. He includes Adolf. He includes, you know, whoever. He doesn't care. Manson, you know, whoever, Daimler, I don't care who it is. He doesn't hate them. He just hates what they do because it doesn't lead to their happiness, not his. God's happy. God made us, gave us freedom, gave us a duty, gave us a right, and the right is against everybody else. I have a right to do my duty to God. Do you know against us there's no law? If you want to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, there's no law against it. In theory. But in practice, somebody else has another idea about the way I'm doing it is not the way they're doing it. And so therefore they want the world to be unified. I don't know where they get this idea that all the world should be one. Somehow they have the idea that if everybody just got along, we'd have peace on earth. It's like those hippie type people that peace, peace, you know. It's like it would be heaven on earth if we just all got along. Jehovah's Witnesses are like that too. You know, wouldn't you like to live in paradise earth or something if there weren't any devil and so on and so forth? Not really. Because that's not realistic. That's in the future. Get your time down. That's in the future. I mean, no, that it has not been the experience for 6,000 years, and it's not likely to be the experience until Jesus comes back and changes it. So he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but there's a question. Will he come back and find faith? Will he actually have a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing? That's a question. It's not an answer. It's just a question. How many know a question is not an answer? But a lot of people think you're brilliant if you can raise a question. Like, why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going? What's my destiny? I love it. Do you know that nobody can answer any of those questions? Nobody has ever figured out why they're here. Even though it's written on their heart. They can raise the question, but they can't find the answer. There was a man years ago, Abraham was his name, Abraham Maslow. And he wrote a book, Hierarchy of Needs, that everybody has the same kind of needs, but there's kind of a hierarchy. And he tried to put them in order. He's a liar. That man is a liar. Because he said he was going to say something about needs. But he omitted that worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself was the only need. Only! There aren't any other needs. Oh, I need to be loved. I need to be appreciated. I need to be respected. Ah, that's nonsense. It's never going to happen. Get real. So, you don't need this and that and a house and some lodging and food and clothing and so on. Well, those are the basic needs of mankind. Silly. You don't have a right to anything. Whatever you want, just go and get it. Do it. Well, I don't want to do it wrong, really. What's the alternative? So, you are going to sin. All have sinned, fallen short. Jesus revealed that. You don't need, in case it isn't existential, it's something Jesus revealed for your essential being. You get to choose who you are. Everybody chooses their own destiny. Everybody chooses their own origin. Huh, interesting. Your origin, where you came from, God, you get to choose that or not. You get to choose whether it's Buddha or, you know, goo out of some swamp or gas or something. You get to choose that. Everybody gets to choose, and there's all kinds of explanations out there that anybody can get. And in your school system today, they teach secular humanism. That's all. They don't ever mention God. They don't even pray. They don't even have Bibles anymore. Used to. Every teacher used to have a Bible. When I was in school, they had it. They used to spank you, too, if you did wrong. And, you know, you had to have pray every morning and salute the flag and so on and so forth. So, thank God those days are over. No. That was good. That was good for me. Did it make me better? Nope. Was I a better person? Nope. Was I less selfish? Nope. Did it have any impact on me? Nope. But nevertheless, a lot of foolish people did. A lot of people said they did it, but they were hypocrites, chair two. I was chair one. And so I never did what I was told. Never. I never wanted to do it. If they had a rule like everybody has to be vaccinated or everybody has to take swimming or whatever, I didn't do it. Then they could have not graduated me, but I was such a liar and a trickster and whatever. I got through everything. Went all the way up. I just kept going. So crime does pay, according to my experience. I was criminal at all times. And it paid. And I was selfish at all times. I didn't understand the word altruistic. That was, I asked some student, what's that, altruistic? Well, you have to be altruistic. Really? What's that word mean? I was stupid. I didn't know anything. Oh, that means you love other people more than yourself. That is stupid. Why would anyone love other people more than themselves? But I didn't say that to the kid because he'd have probably decked me. Because he was convinced that was the Christian thing to do, was care for other people. But I didn't care for other people. Do you know that nobody cares for anybody else? By nature. Even though you have the nature that could do it, you don't want to do it. You want to take care of yourself. Is everybody aware of that? Here's why my preaching is good. Because I love to preach the bad side. The bad news. If you don't hear the bad news, you'll never understand the good news. Because the good news is only for sinners who repent. The good news is only for sinners who repent. And why would you repent? Because you heard that there is good news, but you haven't yet accepted it. But then you heard that he loves you before you change. That's good news. That after you've sinned, and before you've said, I feel bad about it, and before you said, I'll make a difference, I'll try to make up for it, he said, I love you unconditionally. I've provided everything in Jesus Christ. Who's he? Who is that guy? What's he done 2,000 years ago or something? I wasn't there. I don't think they have a picture of him. Do they have a recording of anything he said? No, it's written down by men. Oh, yeah, well, that works good. And so, a question is not an answer. So my question was, well, how do I know there's a God? I didn't. I couldn't know. I didn't want there to be one. Because I'd be in a heap of trouble. If there was one, and there really was one, I mean, really, 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 actually, really, I hadn't done that. And I already had a bad record. And you know what? I read the Bible later. I didn't read it right away. I didn't want to read it. I even went to seminary without reading the Bible, even though I was in seminary. But you don't have to, you know. They don't require it, not at Yale anyway, or Harvard. And so I never read it. But when I did read it, I read it differently than the people that were supposed to be there for God. Because I was only trying to do these art covers for these bulletins. This is all I wanted to do. Is I knew I was an artist. And I knew I can paint anything, draw anything, lithograph anything, and so on and so forth. I have all these degrees of that. I love that. I call them illusions. I can make two dimensions look three-dimensional. I know tricks. And so all I wanted to do was paint these for churches because I knew I could make 15 times what my dad made. And I knew a guy that had the job and said, yeah, you should do it. Train to do it. You can take my job. He said, wow, 15 times what my dad makes. Ha! That's going to be easy, piece of cake. There's only one problem. I don't know anything about God, and I don't want to know anything about God, really. I like just doing my own thing, and I just want to make money. And this is an easy way for me because I'm a natural. I have a natural talent, natural at perspective, natural at stuff, shortening and all that stuff, and shading and blah, blah, blah. So I'm a deceiver, a natural deceiver. And so came natural. But I realized, wow, what do you know about God? Nothing. Okay. Well, go to God school. You know, because if you were going to paint a flower, what would you do? Well, you'd go and look at flowers and tear them apart and paint them. You'd cut them open. You'd do all kinds of things to find out how they're made and what it looks like. and whether they lean or stand still and so on and so forth. And so that's what I did as a little kid. When I was a little bitty kid, 10 cents, I used to be the train. You could go in, double-decker train in Chicago, go through the, you know, you see the whole world from the wealthiest county in the United States at that time, DuPage County. From that wealthiest county where the DuPonts lived and blah, 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 and all this stuff, all the way into downtown Chicago, where, again, it's very wealthy on Michigan Avenue and so on and so forth. There's all this mafia just before the city, and then the suburbs out there where all the people lived. And then we lived in the, you know, the wealthiest one, way out. It's amazing. And you get to see all of that just with your eyes as a little kid. You look out. Wow, look at it, look over there. And so I did that almost every day. It's just a dime. Instead of eating, you can tell I never ate, but instead of eating, I would do that. Go down and take my sketchbook and go down and draw garbage cans, whatever, buildings falling down, whatever. I could paint, draw, color, chalk, anything. I could use any medium. And I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to be Leonardo da Vinci. I'm going to be an architect, or I'm going to be a painter, or I'll sculpture, or I'll be a something. And so I took degree after degree in it so that I could do that. But it was all illusion. You can paint something two-dimensional that looks three-dimensional. And people love it. So you have to find out what they like, what they want to buy. I won't tell you what they want to buy, but it's not good. But they want to buy bad stuff or something that fits their decor or whatever. So it's easy. It's easy to figure out how to deceive and trick people. So that's how I met God. I met God by having to study about him so I could do this for churches, because that was the job offer. If it had been something else, I'd have done something else. Frank Lloyd Wright gave me, he was one of the greatest architects ever, certainly in the United States. And so he invited me to go to one of his schools. And so I was going to go there, but at the last minute, the guy from church came along and said, because my third father forced us to go to church, why don't you go to a church school? Because I swear, because I'm not nice, because I'm nasty, and I don't think I'd get along with hypocrites. I'd judge them, criticize them. And I don't think that'd be a good place for me to go. But one thing about Christians, they have to forgive you if they're real. Of course, they're not. But if you get caught stealing and lying and cheating, they have to forgive you. I've told this story before, but it's an interesting story because it's my story. So I'm the pastor. So I get to tell it. Peggy hates these stories. I love these stories because it's me and it's real. And that's how I found out by sinning that God loves sinners, just by reading his book. I read his book and I realized, wow, God doesn't want people to behave. He wants Jesus to behave for them, in them, through them, so that he gets all the glory and not me for doing something. Because he said, you can't know good and evil. You never can. You'll never figure it out. You'll never figure out what good is or evil. Well, it's written on my heart. Do good and don't do evil. Yeah, what is it? I don't know. It's a good question. I think good is me winning. That's what. Do you know most people think that? Did you know that most people think that? Like 100%. Everybody wants to be, you know, blessed, pampered. No, let's be accurate. Worshipped. Everybody wants to be worshipped. But there aren't any worshipers. So that's the problem. So you have to trick them. You have to trick them into worshiping you. Kind of like when you walk down the aisle, they gasp. Oh, there he is. I've always wanted that. Or to drive back home at the high school reunion where everybody knew I was a loser, and to drive a red convertible and throw money out at them. You know, it's like, you see, I'm somebody. You're in prison or you're this. And, you know, so they didn't make it. But, of course, that was a dream. That was a total dream. I pray that nobody else here was as low as I was. But that really, that was, if God had asked me, what can I do for you? That would be great. Yeah. That would be the ultimate. is to be able to shame everybody. You see, you despised me. You thought I was nothing. Well, there you have it. And I really fell for that. That would have pleased me. Of course, it doesn't last because there isn't anybody there that's going to gasp. We always thought you were going to be a loser. But you were right. And so it's embarrassing. Now, next week, Peggy and I are going to Colorado. We're going to be among, I guess, hundreds of pastors and their wives. And it'll be a joy because Colorado's pretty at this time of year. The aspens turn colors and gorgeous mountains, big Colorado Springs, all that stuff. And so it'll be a fun time for Peggy and I. Peggy's glad there's food. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to have fun. Peggy loves it when she doesn't have to cook. She loves that. You know, I'm tired of that, cleaning the house stuff. You know, let's go and just be blessed. So Peggy is a nice person, but actually deep down she's selfish. She likes, you know, when I bless her, and she likes to be blessed, and, you know, things going her way. And she doesn't like me arguing with her, putting rules on her, expectations and laws and stuff. She loves it when I just let her do what she wants. Man. Spoiler. Spoiler rotten. So, you know what? Here's what I learned. When Jesus loves you, it's over. When Jesus lives your life for you, it's over. When Jesus does everything and says, Jim, I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. I don't care about your criminal mind. I don't care about your background. I love you with all my heart. You are like the apple of my eye. Will you marry me? What do I have to do? Nothing. Really? That's cool. No, you don't have to do a thing. I'll do everything. In fact, I've already done it. You have? I don't know about it. Well, I'm telling it to you. Well, you wrote it down in your book. But I've never seen you. How will I know? You can't. Well, that's not fair. So how do I know what you wrote in the book isn't Jack and the Beanstalk? Just made up stuff. Because you never read anything like this. But you're right on that. You're right on that. Sounds good. It sounds good. But I've looked at your people, and they didn't read it too good then. I've looked at them. They're just as selfish as I am, but they don't want to admit it. They're just as nasty as I am. They are just as rebellious as I am. I've always been lawless. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. I did it my own way. I've told you this before. But if everybody else did it one way, I'd do it a different way. I just do it the way I want to do it. I don't have to follow the group or the gang or the culture or religion or anything. But I did have to go and learn about God. And what I learned, those people are all chair twos. They were all chair twos. It was like TCU or SMU, these religious schools. There wasn't any religion there. They were just like I was, only they lied. They would sneak off to the bar. I'd just go if I wanted to. But they had to sneak off. Why sneak off? Believe in God or something. Doesn't God like to go? Why are you doing it? Give up God and just go on your own. Anyway, that was troubling to me, that seminary students, because we had a seminary on our college campus, and the seminary students would go up there, and it was only a few blocks from the seminary. And I knew several of them. I talked to them. I said, why do you sneak up there? Why don't you just do it openly? You believe in mercy, right? So, anyway, I love doing that. You can tell I would not be a friendly kind of student. Because it said right here in the book, you're not following it, so give it up. Just say you're a rotten, no good person. I am. We could be friends. So I was always what you were. That was it. I never had to hide from people except if I thought they'd hit me or something. I mean, if I have to do that, fine. I don't want to be hit. So I'll just use people. Has anybody here ever used people? Treated them as an object, not a subject, not someone equal to you, not someone of value, but you just simply want to disobey. You just simply don't want to do it, like little kids. God loves you. That's when he loves you. That's when he loves you, when he says, I wrote this book just for sinners. Just for sinners. So that they repent, they change their mind. I'm not an angry judge trying to get you. I'm a loving father wanting to bless you so that you can be happy in the next world and in this one. I'd like to keep you alive forever and ever. Why? Why would you? I love you. That's stupid. You can't love me. I don't even love me. I don't even love me. I'm an idiot. I'm a jerk. I don't do anything right. I don't want to either. But you say you love me. I tell you, when that breaks through, you're free. Amen. When that breaks through and you know you have nothing going for you because you cheated everywhere and you lied and you deceived and tricked and made things look like what they're not. And because of that, I now am in love with Jesus totally. Amen. I mean, once you hear it, you don't believe it, you don't believe it, you don't believe it, you don't believe it. And then one day you just don't know why, except this. I know this. Terror got into me somehow. And I realized, I don't know if it was my heart speaking to me or what, but I realized the promises of God sounded a lot better than what I was experiencing. I wasn't experiencing happiness from doing everything I wanted to do. I didn't love Peggy. She would ask me, do you love me? No. Why'd you marry me? I have no idea. Just wanted to. So I'm happy. It's okay with me. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you don't do. Just you're free. Do what you want to do. But I'm happy. But I'm real. I'm just honest to myself. I just want everything to go my way. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You're free not to. I'll just take care of myself anyway. You know how to do that, Debbie. Take care of yourself no matter what. If people don't like you, too bad for them. Right? Do y'all understand what I just said? That's sinner. That's called a sinner, chair one. But God loved that sinner. How many know he's the only God in the world that loves sinners? Is our God. Yeah. He loves sinners. I mean, he loves them. And the other ones, hypocrites, spews them out of his mouth. In other words, his words have no meaning to them because they think they're okay. They don't think they're perfect. They just think that's kind of like a goal, but not really a limit. You know, like you have to be perfect. It's more like, well, yeah, I'll try. At least you tried, people will say. Well, at least I made an effort. I never made an effort. I didn't want to. I just didn't do it. I didn't care what the rules were. I figured out there's a way around every rule. There's always another chess move. I don't want to ever be checkmated until I met Jesus. And then I realized, wow, if this is true, then I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble because I have nothing going for me. I want to find out how Betsy got it because I was in deep trouble. I read what it said, but it didn't bother me because I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway, even if I go to hell, fine. I don't care about hell. I don't care about heaven. I don't want to go to heaven, and I'm not afraid of hell. I'm just going to live my life the way I want, and then whatever happens, happens. Big deal. I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't ever think I deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. And so, therefore, I don't really care. I just want stuff, and I'm just going to take it. If you don't give it to me, I'll take it. Debbie, you didn't do that. No. You were too much of a Baptist.
I was very much a Baptist. I was afraid of hell.
Yeah.
Very much afraid.
See, there's your weakness right there. That was a weakness right there. Because that's not all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You know, so you cheated a little bit. You thought he graded on a curve. No, no. It's absolute. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. I want you to be holy as I am holy. It's like, no way. I mean, even if I wanted to, and I don't, but even if I wanted to, I wouldn't. And even if I could, even if I wanted to, I'm not going to. I'll do what I want to do. That's where happiness lies, if it lies at all. And since it didn't, I was terrorized. I was terrorized. I actually knew there's something evil in this world, and I'm part of it, without question. but I really don't want it to get me. I mean, one thing I'm into is survival. There's one thing I want to do is live. It may be crappy, but I'm living. It may be no good. It may be against God, but I'm living. I'm alive. That's a big achievement for me. Stay alive every day. Did you know that that's natural? Do you know that's natural? That's good for the species. Keep alive. Stay alive. But there's not a lot of, there's nothing but existence there. So existentially, I'm living, but I have no life. Life, life, l'chaim. You know, I never chose anything decent or good. I always just chose for me. And so terror did strike me, and I would have nightmares and the, you know, world coming in and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, I better check into this God thing. And after Kara was born, I realized she's going to catch me sooner or later and figure out I'm a phony and a liar. And then she'll have loved me, so she'll be disappointed, hurt, destroyed. That seems wrong, to bring a little kid into the world like that and then destroy him. I don't know why. I don't have any morals to me. But it troubled me that I'd bring a little kid in that I know would really go for me, because I'm kind of a good con artist, and she'd be conned. And then she'd watch me closely, because people that love people, they watch you really closely, and they catch you on anything that deviates from that, because they want that security. And I know she's going to fall for that. And then she's going to catch me, and then she'll be destroyed. So God, I know you don't exist, but I'm going to put her on your altar. I learned this from somebody. I forget who, but somebody taught me this. I'm going to put her on your altar. She's your child. You brought her in the world through me. Shouldn't have chosen me. But now that you did, it's your fault. It's your fault. Now, I'm going to do that. So here's the deal. I don't know if you make deals, and I'm not interested in your deals. This is my deal. I'm going to give her up to you, surrender her to you. And then if she's really your daughter and you do anything you say, you do this loving thing and so on, okay, take care of her. Because I'm not going to. I mean, I'll pretend for a while, but then after a while, I'll get caught. She'll realize I don't really care for her because I just care for me. And so I'm going to put her there, and then if it fails, it's your fault, not mine. Because I don't respect you. I don't honor you. I want to be God. And so therefore, I'm getting rid of this guilt thing, this law thing, this trouble thing, get rid of that. That's your fault. So you shouldn't have put her in this family here and made me and Peggy get together and so on and have this child. So because you did that, I'm not blaming me. I had nothing to do with it. So I'm innocent as a snake. Anyway, so I gave God a year and a half, and then I changed it to 2 just in case, you know, she might survive a little longer. So I said, you got 2 years to get me saved. And sure enough, within that 2-year period, I met supernaturally the living God. But I'll tell you why I think I met him. I don't think I met him because I was rotten. I think I met him because I knew I was rotten. Amen. And knew I was no good and never faked it with him. Yeah. And I believe he came to me and said, you're what I'm looking for. I want you to marry me. It's like, you're crazy. I'm not looking for you. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be a Christian. I certainly don't like being a pastor, but it's good pay. I'll take it. Because you only have to work 1 hour a week, and the people are happy. Do a few funerals and marriages and stuff. People are, thank you so much, Pastor Jim. It's easy. What an easy job. Then I can go and play tennis, do whatever I want the rest of the week. And they'll never know because they don't care. They don't really care as long as I do the marrying and the burying and the, you know, all that stuff. They're happy with that. They don't even care what the messages are, but I'll just borrow some stuff I learned and say it. People are easy. You probably haven't met too many ministers like me, but that's okay. It's real. But I fell in love with a God that loved me just by reading his word. I mean, one thing, I tricked myself because I was a pastor because it was an easy deal. You don't have to do anything. And not only that, but I had to read the word and dig into it, like David said he was doing. And the more you dig into it, it gets to you. Pretty soon, I found myself believing. And I didn't make myself do it. One day I just believed. And I knew that I knew that I knew there was a God. I remember exactly where I was and how it happened. But from that moment on, I fell in love with God because he loved me as I was. Not as I ought to be. Not as I should be. Not as I could be. Not as I might be. But as I was.
Yes.
And he knew me to the depth, the Bible said. And I knew, it's just the Bible said, that doesn't mean it's real. But it was. All of a sudden, one day it was, because the terror was real. And I knew I was not happy. And as long as there's terror in the world, and I can't get rid of it, I can't get rid of my own terror, maybe God. Try God. I'll just give him a try. And that's how it happened. Was that religious? Was that right? No, I didn't do it right. I never did it right. I never tried to do it right. I never wanted to do it right. I just did what I did. And God loved me that way. I believe that's why he came to me and said, and I remember it vividly, you know, I just knew all of a sudden there was a God. And I knew Jesus was his son. And, you know, I had already studied that. I knew it in my head. I had the concept, but not the reality. So one day I fell in love because he first loved me. And I began to thank him and praise him and worship him without trying. I'd never read anything about tithing or, you know, caring. So I was trying to get out of everything I could that would bless somebody else. Just take care of me. If I would give, you know, Peggy the cake, and there was two pieces, a big piece and a small piece, I would make sure, I'd say, Peg, do you want one of these? Yes. Well, which one do you want me to have? The one that's facing me or the one that's toward you? since it was big, she knew it was a sin for her to say, I want the big piece. But she did. So she pointed it toward me because she wanted to be a Christian. So she pointed it toward me. I said, Peg, you see this big piece right here? This is bigger than that little piece right there. So maybe an eighth of an inch, but that's the difference. Do you want me to eat that one? Whatever, you get to choose. Okay, good. And then I knew, I just checked her face. She was not happy about that. I could tell she wasn't happy. Hey, is it okay that I eat this one? You don't want it, do you? And she was a hypocrite. A total hypocrite. Because she wanted the big one. But it took years for her to admit that. Peg, you wanted the big one, didn't you? I could have given it to you. Small one's okay with me. Look, I'm only 140. I've always been 140. I've never had anything more. I've tried. I've tried to, you know, bilge and whatever they call it, you know, whatever. I've tried. And I still stay the same, no matter what. It's amazing. I have worms, I guess, inside of me that eat that food. I don't know how they keep me the same. But there you have it. But someday when I grow up, I'm gonna be awesome. I will be awesome. Do y'all see this? Now here's Galatians. Here's Galatians. A child. Paideia. Only this word is napion, which means a very small, like a baby. A child. As long as he is a child and not fully grown, is the heir of the master. So, he's under the law of the master, but he's an heir. All right? The word in Greek for heir is kleron or kleros. And then if you add the law to it, it's kleron nomos, the law of the master. So Jesus came, he was born as a child, napion, a little infant. He was born as a baby. And what did he do? Well, he was the Lord of all. He was actually the Son of God. He was actually the ruler of the world and of the heavens and of everything. But he came and he was born of God just to love me and you and you and you and you and you. And because he did that, he did it perfectly. Not just when he came into the world, but he did that for me because he actually had paid for it before the foundation of the world, 6,000 years earlier. But a child, when he came into the world, as a child, the Father sent him deliberately for me and you and all. Everybody. Wicked people. Anybody. He doesn't make any. He's not a respecter of persons. He counts all men alike. And that's embarrassing for y'all if you think you're better. Because you're not. You're actually worse if you're in chair two. Worse. Actually, he prefers cold to hot lukewarm. I wish you were cold or hot, but that you're lukewarm, I can't even talk to you, because you think you're proud of being better than somebody else. Well, you won't believe this. I've never felt I was better than anybody. I always knew I was a scoundrel and a rat and a liar and a cheat and so on, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. I liked doing that stuff. I never wanted to change. I had no morals, and I had no religion, and I had no decency, none. I didn't. The only reason I didn't do bad things like some people did, consequence. That would slow me down. You know, I didn't want to pay or, you know, take a punishment or something. I didn't want anyone to catch me. So my biggest thing was never get caught. Not never sin. Sin as much as you can, but just don't get caught. Do it when no one's looking. Be tricky. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Be tricky. Just don't be a decent person. Just look like, act like when you're in front of people that care about that kind of thing. But if you're among thieves and robbers and so on, you can brag all you want because they don't care. You know that there's a lot more of people like me than there is of people like y'all by your background? And most Christians are actually just hypocrites, so they're just exactly like me too. So I've never met anybody better than me or worse than me. They're just equal to me. And I knew that when I was rotten to the core. I knew that. I could see because you just lied the way I lie. Only you called it Jesus. I just didn't add that part. Not because I was afraid of him. I didn't even believe in him. I just believed in me. But I got to choose, and it didn't work. Even though I could do anything I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. But there was some gnawing at me. Did you know that most people are under stress? They're under fear. They're under guilt. And they don't know why. You can ask the question, why am I scared or guilty or stressed or care or whatever, you know. You can't get the answer. And people will give you false answers. If you're looking for an answer, someone will give you a false answer, but it won't be true. Because what you're missing is God, but that was not what I wanted. I did not want God. Looking at Christians, no way. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to add that. Life is hellish enough. I don't know, I want to add that part. And I'm having a blast. I'm really happy-go-lucky. I'm having a ball, doing what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it. Deceive my parents, deceive everybody. I didn't have any guilt over that. Just, you know, don't want to get caught. But when I met Jesus, I fell in love. And that was a miracle because God did that. I didn't do that. I didn't look for him. I did not seek him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I didn't do any of that. I just did my own thing. And he came, and I don't know why. Why would he seek me out? Why would he look for a rotten, no good person? Amen? Amen. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. This is very powerful.
Very.
But he did. He said, you're the one I'm looking for. Really? Okay, that's cool. But you know what? I'm not looking for you. So I don't want your deal. I don't want your offer. And so I not only am a sinner, but I'm happy about it. I love it. I not only sin, I love sin. I love it. And I don't want it to be different. The only thing is, I want to be a little richer and smarter and handsomer and so on and so forth, but I don't know if I'm getting any of those things. But at least I'm going to be me. So the one thing I had going for me was nothing. That was the one thing I had going for me was I knew there was nothing to me. I was a complete invention. I just made it up as I went along, minute by minute, second by second. Do you know people live like that? Just every day, I just do whatever I felt like doing, whatever I thought about, you know. And everything I thought was whatever it was. I didn't know it was right or wrong. I didn't care. So when Jesus meets you, he changes you forever. And falling in love, not only with Jesus, immediately I began to fall in love with my mother and my three fathers and my wife. And I knew they was going to kill me. I knew that was going to kill me because I was never a steady person or reliable or what. It was all fake. And so I knew, I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get caught. I didn't mind loving the little kids because they're kind of stupid and don't know anything what's going on. But I knew when they grew up, they'd figure me out. But as long as they were young, they wouldn't know it, because they think you're awesome. They think you're like God. In fact, people used to come to church because they were told, we're going to go to God's house, and then they'd see me up front. So little kids would come up and say, is God. And I never disabused them of that. It's like, it's cool. It's a complete lie, but I'm going to take advantage of that. And so, did you know your son was one of those? Wyatt was like that. I would wear a suit. He got a little suit. I had a little suitcase thing, and he had a little suitcase thing. You know, it's like, and he said, when I grew up, I'm going to be a minister. And he was. He sat on the front row and listened to everything. Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's good. That's well worth it right there. Yeah. But I knew he didn't know anything. He was looking at a complete liar, phony. Do you know some of our politicians are liars? If you know that. Some of our businessmen cheat, lie, steal, etc. Some of them have double books, girlfriends on the side and stuff. Okay, that's just all part of the real world. But you know what? God put us into the world to be the salt and the light, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Amen. You know people will hate you when you do that? People will not love you and thank you. Some people will. Some people will. Y'all. So that's good. I love it. Keep loving. Keep loving. It's good. It's very good. But you know what? Once you have Jesus loving you, you don't need anybody else's love. That's why you can tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because it's too good to be true. This is too powerful. Passive righteousness. His life is your life. His joy is your joy. Did you know you're happy right now, David? With all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to work at it. He worked at it, and he's still doing it. He didn't just begin a thing. The good work I began. So this time thing there. In you, I will surely complete. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. That's exciting. I don't care that anyone else believes it. I don't care if anybody buys this stuff. I'm buying it. Yeah. I already bought it. Why? Because he wrote it down and something happened and now I believe it. And I've been happy ever since. I am radiantly happy. Not pretending like I am. I am. And I do love my wife with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I'll die for her physically, psychologically, you name it. I'll do it. And I'll do the same for you, Danny. Not so sure about. Let's see. No, it doesn't make any difference. Because once God gets you to chair 5, you're dead. The only reason he born you again in chair 4, so he could take you to chair 5 till you're dead. And dead just simply means you don't have a will of your own. You don't have a life of your own. You don't have words of your own. You don't have deeds of your own. You come in the name of the Lord wherever you go and whatever you do, period. That's the death of you. Right there is the death of you. There's no more Jim left. Once you start loving people, chair 6, once you start loving people unconditionally, you're dead. In fact, you have to be dead to have that, to know his resurrection. So you can only get to 6 if you're resurrected from 5. And you can only go to 5 if you're dead. You intend to be dead after being born. So you were born in chair 4 to die in chair 5 so you could resurrect in chair 6. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Spirit, soul, body. God has arranged this until everybody is Christ-like. Everybody. Everybody. So my goal, my purpose as a pastor is everybody, not just every member that's here. That I do have. If anybody doesn't make it here, I put all the weight on me. I didn't fast enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't teach right, whatever. I'm not ever blaming anybody else. If you didn't make it, it's my fault in my eyes. I know you have better theology than me, but you're wrong. It's mine. Why? Because he gave me this call. He called me for a reason. And then he killed me so that I could then love you as you are and never put a burden on you, never put any weight upon you, trick anybody, all the stuff I know how to do. Never do it. Never do it. Okay? But I trust God to do that. Not me. I wouldn't do it for a second. But he knows how to kill you every day I die daily, Paul said. So every day I'm dying so that I can live. Did you know if you lose your life, you find it? Lose your life in chair 5, you find it in chair 6. So the resurrection, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, chair 5, conforming to his death in every way. That's what it's all about. Right there is life. There's life. Maslow's needs hierarchy doesn't work. What you need is chair 4, 5, 6. That's how you get to where God created you to get. That's why he created you in the first place. That's why he redeemed you in the second place. That's why he's perfecting you now in the third place. That's why he is now making you his bride that he's coming back for, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. What? Pure faith in what he did and is still doing. You're not doing it. You don't get any credit, any merit, any chips. You don't get anything for it. You can just be good for nothing. In other words, you don't get anything. But he gives you everything. You don't earn it. He just gives it to you. As soon as he gets everything, he gives it all to you. The only reason he got everything was so he could give it all back to you. The only reason he got everything, doesn't want you to have anything, is so that he can give it to you. Why? Because he is God. You're not. Amen. And he wants you to have everything God has. He wants you to live forever. That's just this world. And forever. So forever and ever is forever and ever. I mean, there's no end. Worlds without end. So what he begins now, he will never stop. There's no God like that. There is no God like that.
Hallelujah.
Who sent his own son, his own dearly beloved son, and the son said, here am I. Send me. Dad, don't go. Let me go. I want to please you. I want to. Not I have to. I'm not under a law. I'm ready to suffer anything. Let me start out as a little child, under the law, born of woman. Let me be just like the people down there that I'm trying to reach, that you want to reach, that you love, that you want to be in the kingdom. And you know what? The harvest is so ripe, it's just the laborers that are few. It's so ripe that you can just simply say Jesus and people will be converted. You can just simply go and tell the story, give an account for the hope that's in you, boom, people will come just like that. Muslims will come, witchcraft people, homosexuals. It doesn't matter what the sin is, what the religion is, they'll all come. There's nobody can resist him. None, nobody. No categories. I will never meet a person worse than myself, ever. There's a few of you close. Never worse. Never worse. Equal to. But if God can save me, he can save you. If God can seek me out and say, Jim, I want to marry you. Make that offer to me. And I took it eventually. Didn't take it right away. Took it eventually. When I did, complete. And it cost me my life. It cost me everything. Good. Best thing ever happened to me.
Amen.
Was Jesus seeking me out and telling me, Jim, I don't like any of your works. They all stink. I agree. But I want to change that. But I won't force. So will you agree to it? Sure. Might as well. I have nightmares and stuff like that. So. And it ain't working out that good. You know, I'm obviously not God. Nobody's gasping when I come by. Peggy doesn't like me. I don't like her for not liking me. So this thing ain't working. So let's try your deal. See if your deal works. Was that a religious thought? No, it's not a religious thought at all. It's just totally selfish still. So, yeah, I want everything you say and double it, you know. Give me some more. I'll take it all. Do you put peanuts in there too? Yeah, I'll take those too. I want it all. Did you know that you can ask anything of God? Do you know that he cannot have something and not want to share it with you? Like, well, I have this, but I'm saving it. He loves me as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I'm marrying him. So I'm going to get all his stuff. So I am now a co-heir with Jesus Christ, the heir of Abraham's promise, which is God's promise to Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus Christ as Son of God, who is also Son of Man, who then gives it and shares it with me.
Hallelujah.
Wow, that's a good offer. I'm taking it. So now I'm a co-heir. I'm a son, daughter. Doesn't make any difference. Those are all just words. You can both be sons and daughters. You can also be all children of God. And you can use all those words interchangeably. The main thing is, get this. He loves you unconditionally. Amen. Our God is a God of love. No other God exists. There isn't any other God that loves us without condition. I'll love you if. I love you because. No, no conditions. He loves you. You are beloved of God. Amen. Debbie, I think you're getting it.
Got it.
You got it already. Past tense. Past tense. Already got it. Betsy.
I got it.
Got it.
Amen.
Got it.
I got it.
David. You got it, David?
I got it.
Amen. I believe you. I believe that's true. Where's Greg? I think he's got it. I was going to say that. When he comes back in, I'll embarrass him. Obo.
Got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Look how cheap we can be. Do you see how cheap we can be? We can just take it. Why? It pleases God, and nothing else pleases God, that you will take it. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to earn it. You cannot. The perfect has been done. You can't take away or add to. Perfect. Perfect is perfect. Done. Finished. Past tense. Passive righteousness.
Hallelujah.
And anything active that comes out of us, just don't touch the glory. Meaning, don't think it's you. That was just Jesus in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. There it is. What is the hope? Hope is not seen. Hope is still future. Hope is not faith. Faith takes their check today. Faith writes the check on hope today. Okay, if I got a billion coming, I'm going to write a check for 100,000 days. See how much billion I have. See what? I'll write that check. See what happens. So you write that check, and it comes through, and you go, wow, I bet I do have a billion. I'm going to write another one. And you can write another one. How many know that you can write an awful lot of checks you haven't written on God's goodness, on God's favor to sinners, on God's love for you? Did you know you could do a lot more than you've done so far?
Yes.
Amen.
Don't be terrorized by it. Just be joyful. Celebrate. No fear of the future. No guilt over the past. Celebrate the present.
Hallelujah.
Just the only thing that pleases a father at Christmas time is that the kids open the present and their eyes light up. And they love the wrapping, and they love what's inside, and then they step on it and get the next one. It's great. That's what pleases a parent. That little, I love this. And that's it. That's what God wants, just to be thankful. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mom. Go thank your uncle. He gave you that. Oh, okay. Thank you, Uncle Ted. You know, he don't care. He just knows I want this present. And what pleases God is take it. Just take it. No one else can give. There's only one giver, one actor, one God, our God. So, it's good. All right, who else has it? Let's have a testimony. Who else got a hold of it? This is a good message. You didn't just speak. I heard God. I heard God. Went into my heart. I'm stronger. You edified me. You built me up. I'm stronger today. Want everyone to know. All right, who'd like to be second? Doris, go ahead, brag.